Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I do apologize if we run into any technical difficulties, because it is Mars is in Mercury is in retrograde. I'm sorry, and so we're having a lot of little technical stuff happening. And Mark will join us here eventually at some point. We're kind of making a game plan for me to meet up with him to patch me through. But I got home just in time, and I'm at my office and getting ready to do the show. So hopefully, Mark, if you can hear me. We are live, call in, and we can talk about all the cool stuff. So, you know, this has been an interesting week so far as it started. You can just feel the build-up, you know. I've been feeling the build-up here at my house. I've been feeling the build-up just around me and the people. But yesterday, my truck decided that it was going to, you know, take a break and get off the road. And I'm kind of glad it did in the capacity and the way it did. I went to visit my friend Anthony. He's going on his trip to Alaska, so I'm pretty happy for him on that. But I could tell my truck was doing some weird stuff, some things that it usually doesn't do. And so I was a little concerned about that, and I was trying to figure out what was happening. And what it turned out was that the belt went bad on my car, but I'm not sure if the belt went bad because, you know, the air conditioning pulley isn't moving, functioning right. But I can tell where it tore and where it ripped. And the belt didn't look like it was too used up. But, you know, of course, it's one of those groove-type belts, so you never know what you're getting into with that. So, you know, I was really grateful that I wasn't on the freeway or any capacity like that trying to get to point A or point B or C or D or whatever, because that wouldn't have been good, because you lose your power steering capabilities as well when you're trying to drive. So I apologize that I have a sniffles a little bit, just kind of outdoors a little bit. So it was nice to be out. So, you know, I got to my truck, popped the hood, took a look underneath there, and I checked all the little pulley system. I shook them a little bit to make sure if they were working. And they seemed to work pretty good, so there was no big deal there. But like I said, you know, the compressor pulley, it has its own system, how it works. So, like, when it's turned on, it churns. But I think it's frozen. I think it's just frozen. And that happens. So I'm either not going to have AC in my car, bypass that pulley, and just run without it. We'll see. We'll see what Mo says, my buddy who's my mechanic. And he gives me the diagnostics on that. I know I have my son's car in the shop, too. I don't know. I'm just touching things, and things are falling apart to some degree. So it's kind of weird. I got his car and put gas in it, and then it wouldn't start. So energetically, I must be overcharged. I must be too much of a battery. So how do you survive this type of energies? How do you survive these retrogrades and these different types of energies that come your way? Well, the way I look at it is just you have to find a way to ground yourself, a way to, you know, take the energy and move it into a positive light. And this whole ordeal and this whole thing that's been happening to me, I'm taking it in a positive light. You know, I wanted to look at it from a perspective that, you know what, it happened in these circumstances and these different ways because, you know, that's the way it's supposed to happen. So I'm really grateful for that I wasn't on the freeway driving and my belt broke and everything just collapsed on me. But I was fortunate enough that my car did still start, which is kind of funny. Kind of weird, you know, and it's on, and got towed, and it's on its way to the hospital, the car hospital. And Mark, are you there?
I am here finally.
Yeah, I finally got to my office, so we got it all straightened out, I think.
Yeah, I missed the very beginning there. I saw some posts yesterday saying that Mercury retrogrades all in your head, and that, oh, you guys create this stuff and whatnot. If that's your opinion, I would like you to come spend a day with me.
Yeah, would you like my opinion? Something.
Yeah,
something,
I mean,
yeah.
I
energetically, I'd have to say, you know what? It may be in your head to some degree, but I'll tell you, it does. There is stuff that is affected by it in ways we do not know. Because my truck said, "Screw you, Iggy. I'm going to I need to go to the hospital. You know, I need to check me out."
Yeah, my car is a lease, so I don't even have to do the repairs on it. And I just had it in for service a couple of weeks ago. This morning, my brake warning light goes on.
Oh,
and I had to go run some errands, and my credit card didn't work. And then I was held up in traffic, and then I couldn't get Blog Talk booted up when I got home. So if anybody thinks this is all just stuff in your head that we create, we need to talk.
Yeah.
I purposely do not create car issues or...
Yeah, I mean, what's the point, right?
Right. Why would I do that? If anything, I mean, I send out good energy so that things run smoothly. But I think you're correct. I mean, there is a point to all this silliness, and that it's, you know, to make you stop, slow down, you know, rethink, you know, is what I'm doing important, or is there something that I'm not getting that I need to stop and focus on, or
you're right,
too much silliness going on, or, you know.
You're right. I agree with you,
like
Matt.
That.
Slow down. It's kind of funny.
Right.
Last night, in one of our readings, I pulled a turtle card, and David pulled a rabbit card.
Yeah,
you hear that? Okay. So I'm thinking...
Yeah, I wasn't
wow.
home last night, but I listened this morning, or partly last night and the rest this morning to it.
Yeah, so I thought it was pretty cool. I was like,
yeah,
people were self-coaching yesterday. There is something to this retrograde. And, you know, and now I understand, because before I used to just go through life going, man, what the heck is going on, you know? What is happening? You know, I'm in the positive mind. I'm focusing this way. That's kind of where I was talking about before I got you on the air here. I was, you know, how to ground and how to get the energies and how to flow through them. But, you know, there was a time where I would go, man, what is that? What is going on? Because, you know, I'm not a big astrologer guy. You know, I just know the basics of minus the basics, you know. I don't know enough like you do, but I never knew that all this stuff had all this influence and all this, and how it all worked. And now I'm starting to make sense now.
Right. And you know, and I think the more, like, lunar-based we are, or, you know, because I know some people that are really spiritual that, like, I mean, I know a few people, like my girlfriend, the planetary effects have, like, no, like, they don't affect her very much.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, so wired in different energetically. But then, like me, the stuff is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just ultra sensitive to it. And
right.
I know some people are going to think, oh, well, yeah, well, you know it's coming and whatnot. But
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work. It worked the opposite way. I started noticing this stuff for years and years and making mental notes and noticing the different energy shifts and stuff. And then I discovered astrology after noticing this stuff for like 15, 20 years.
Right,
and then
right.
I found that there was a language and a science to this. And it's like, hey, I'm not a total weirdo. Well, I am a total weirdo. But, you know, but it's
right.
like other people have noticed this, and people have noticed this for 10,000 years. And written books and stuff on it. And that's what sold me on it, is once I started seeing this stuff, and it's like, wow, there's these other... Now we have free will, and we can, you know, adjust to things and whatnot, but it's... yeah, I mean, to say the... but before we go any further, a quick shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
Mars and Gemini, you're fired. So... I have just fired yet another planet, so there will be no more Mars and Gemini ever. We're doing away with that one. Voted off the island. So, yeah, so, I mean, it's just, And, you know, I think I talked on one of the shows recently. I mean, the other thing on top of this that's going on is we have a thing, it's called a mutable T-square, which a third of the planets are mutable, which means they are kind of easygoing, adaptable to change, fluctuate easy, but they can get blown off course and stuff easy, too, because they're not, you know, a third of the signs are fixed, which are very stubborn and resistant to change and good at getting things done. Then a third of the planets are cardinal, which are initiators and good action starters and orienters of things. But the mutable planets, we have three of them that are in. It's Saturn, Mars, and Neptune. And they're in a, I don't want to say any energy is negative, but they're in a challenging aspect. There's a lot of energy to this bigger aspect with these three planets.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually one of the challenges for the mutable planets and signs is boundary issues. So I don't know about you, but I feel like the last week since Mars has went into Gemini and formed this T-square with Saturn and Neptune, about the last week or so, it's felt like, man, it's like a train driving down the road. There is no train track. It's just
right.
Like everything is very, I mean, fluid is good, but it's almost like this is like too fluid, like there's no stability to anything. There's,
absolutely.
And mutable signs tend to have like boundary issues. So I'm seeing one of the big things now is kind of establishing boundaries and stuff.
So what would be a mutable sign then for our listeners?
The mutable signs are Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius.
Ooh,
so that
I know
includes
that
your sign and my sign.
Yeah. I resemble
so,
that sign.
Yes. So we might be experiencing some of these issues maybe a little more than us, but I'm seeing it come out in a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just like it's very hard to keep the train on the track right now.
Right, right. I get that.
Because it's like... I went and saw one of our friends, Cindy Riggs, who's going to be on this show coming up and my show at the end of June. And we had we swapped services and had a little discussion last week. And one of them is about hijacking. And it's like some days, you know, you have this plan to where, you know, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I got this sorted out, and I'm going to get all this stuff done, and I'm going to have the next day to do this. And then it's like sometimes it's like the universe hears you and goes like, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm going to need you to move your desk down to the basement. You know, it's like a grand scale version of Office Space. It's
yeah.
Like,
oh, I know what you
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, I'm going to need that stapler back.
Yeah. I know it's been kind of an interesting ride for me because, you know, it's like I said, you know, I've not been used to applying astrology to what the work I do, but now it's like, ooh, here we go. Now I'm kind of like, now you know that things are coming. You know, it's like, wow.
Right. So it's like having an accurate weather forecast. Now, there's always some variation, and it's since, you know, astrology affects people and events and things. It's hard to tell exactly how everything is going to play out. But at least I know, hey, next Thursday I might want to take an umbrella with me. You know, I mean, it's the same thing as like a weather report, except it's the emotional weather and the energetic weather that you're looking at. So it's like, hey, there might be delays or disturbances on such and such a day. So I may want to allow myself extra time or not as tightly schedule things as I maybe normally would.
Okay. Sounds good. You know, and I was trying to figure out, so how do you survive that retrograde? Because it's something that, you know, we always tell people, this is what's going on, this is what's happening. But we don't really say, hey, you know what? How do you survive something like this? Well, there's eight don'ts that you don't do, I guess. I guess I found this on a website called elephantjournal.com. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so, you know, you could probably add more to this list as well.
Oh, absolutely. Run through it.
So the first list here, for those of you who are affected by it and feeling the pressures, okay, the one says, don't argue with lovers, friends, or coworkers, especially the boss. That's number one. Number two, don't start any new projects. Number three,
that is definitely a good one. The second one is definitely a good one.
And we can go back and we'll discuss all these points. So,
okay.
And don't make commitments or sign any agreements. Don't purchase computers or install software. Don't make any offer on new homes or sign any documents to buy one. Don't buy a car. Don't accept or start a job. Avoid unnecessary travel. Dun, dun, dun. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't want to read that one. Okay, number one. We'll start with number one. Don't argue with lovers, friends, coworkers, especially the boss.
That's probably a good idea in general for all the time, but
yeah.
But okay. Right, but I see the first one being more. The first one definitely probably applies now, but I see the first one being kind of more of a Mars. Kind of a Mars thing then, because I think it's during Mercury retrograde you are supposed to speak your truth.
Okay.
Because that's the whole message, and we're gonna
just
before we
argue.
Jump off air today, we're gonna talk about astrology posts as well.
Cool.
But you are that's one of the things we're supposed to deal with during Mercury retrograde is make sure that we don't want to be nasty with people, but we want to make sure that we are clearly communicating with ourselves and with others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're supposed to have fewer communications, but they're supposed to be more specific and detailed, because texts don't reach people, and phone messages get lost, and things just don't go smoothly.
Right.
So,
right.
But you're supposed to be very, and that's a part of it that gets missed. Is part of the Mercury retrograde is communicating with yourself, saying,
mm-hmm.
"I just said that," and you know, sometimes, you know, we've all got a little parrot in us. I mean. Sometimes I parrot things, and I'm like, I've said that for a long time over and over, but do I really mean that?
Right.
Or that's how I felt in 1984, but do I really still think that? So some of it is like stopping and making sure that stuff that, you know, because we all have our own little catchphrases and stuff that we use, and it's like, Are we really communicating the message that we want to? I don't think you necessarily. I'm kind of iffy on that first point. I'm not sure if you really need to avoid arguments any more so than normal, which you want to normally. But it's about being clear with your messages.
Yeah, it actually just says don't argue. So with lovers, so I guess it's not saying avoiding. I guess it's just saying find the higher road if you can. In the process.
Right. Well, on that level, and, you know, saying, look at what's
mm-hmm.
really going on in the situation and stuff, then I agree with that.
Yeah. And so number two, don't start a new project.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Re is anything you start during. So I can give you lots of personal experiences from the last Mercury retrograde
uh-huh.
period we had, which was February and March. Yes, absolutely. Don't sign a contract. Try not to start a job. Buy a house. Any big, especially electronic stuff. Try to tough it out. It's Mercury goes retrograde 4 times a year for roughly 3 weeks each time. Try to rough out any electronic stuff or whatnot. that's not an immediate need to have replaced. Sometimes these things just magically fix themselves. I've seen that 200 times where I'll have a glitch on my computer and it lasts a Mercury retrograde that sometimes like an hour after Mercury retrograde ends, even though it's still in its shadow period, I've had stuff just like, I'll be damned. It's working perfect now.
I know that feeling. And then the other one is...
One thing about the retrograde is retrograde starts with the word R-E. So anything that kind of starts with the word R-E has to do with that. Redo, renegotiate, redo over again. So, like I've had a lot of people talk to me about, man, we've got a vacation schedule and we've already got it booked and I just noticed that it's for during a Mercury retrograde period. And it's like, yeah, well, if it's something if it's definitely a vacation, a place that you like, then that's okay, because that may, a lot of times you end up going back and doing that over again. So,
right.
Now, what I will say is if you have a vacation scheduled, I would stress book your hotel reservations and your air flight and your car repairs or whatever else, any preparations you need to do, try to do that before the Mercury retrograde starts.
I try not to have any repairs, period.
right. But I mean booking your flights or arranging rides, that kind of stuff.
Right. Was not in my plans, but
right.
Mercury had a different idea.
Yes.
So I guess you covered one. You covered four and two. And then I think you kind of covered three, too. Don't make any commitments or sign any agreements. So.
Right. Now, your plans are going to change and often be disrupted. So, the last 24 hours of my life has been nothing but like, got to adjust this plan, got to change this.
So, how many offers? I'm curious about that one.
You kind of cut out for a second. I didn't quite hear it.
It says, "Do not do not make sign any documents to buy one."
Yeah. Okay. So here's how you kind of play with this energy. So, something that is it's not quite like a Mercury retrograde, but there's a thing called the moon void of course. And this happens every 2.5 days. And this is when, without getting into all the nerdy math stuff, this is when the moon is ready to move from one sign to another. You have a period, the dorky part is it's after made its last exact aspect in a sign before it moves into the other sign. So you have kind of a null and void period, if I were able to speak English. And so things don't work correctly a lot of times during that period. There's a lack of emotion or fixedness to those time periods. So in one way, it's kind of like shorter Mercury retrograde periods, whereas like plans often fall through or people back out and that kind of stuff. So it's like I try to never plan my classes during a moon void, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it has some of the similar effects of a Mercury retrograde. So yeah, you don't want to sign contracts, start new projects, or because you want to have good direct energy. Like don't try and launch a website during Mercury retrograde. Don't buy a new computer. And I've done all this, and I know this stuff for a fact. I've done all this. I was like, oh, that Mercury retrograde stuff's exaggerated. I'm sure I'll be fine buying my new phone or computer. I've done all these things. I'm the stupid guy.
That's right.
That knows better, but has done it anyways. I'm that guy. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. And rarely is it ever.
Yeah.
So there's an additional message there, just to kind of bite your tongue or hold off on stuff you may not really need that second. So yeah, a lot of times we deal with the negative with this kind of stuff, repairs and having to redo stuff and whatnot. But let's say you're kind of forced to sign in papers, or you're not really sure if you want to do something, but there's kind of a timeline, like with buying a house, or, you know, you kind of want a job, you've been offered, but you're not sure, or just things like that where you're like, I feel like I'm being pressured to say yes to this, but I either don't want to or I'm not really sure about it. Then you can use the Mercury retrograde or the Void of Course Moon as kind of a backup plan for you, because if you sign or do certain things in those periods, there's a good chance that they're really not going to come to fruition. So you can kind of use that as a fail stop as well.
And for those of you who want to know what Mercury is like, well, the planet Mercury reaches a staggering 430 degrees Celsius during the day, and then while at night the temperatures plummet to minus 170 degrees Celsius. Okay, Mercury is a slow rotation, and it makes it possible to spend some time on there, but I don't know if I want to visit anytime soon. So that makes sense why it's so extreme.
Right.
I think it's the planet closest to the sun too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's correct.
So a little fireball he is.
Yep, Mercury, Venus, Earth.
Mars, all right,
Jupiter, Saturn.
Let's see. So buying a home, and I guess cars would kind of fall into the same category, not buying them and not paying big purchases. So I would probably move down to 7. I said, don't accept or start a job.
Right, and ideally, just across the board, you don't want to commit. You don't want to give a hard yes or hard commitment to anything during a Mercury retrograde, because there's likely going to be delays and issues and unforeseen things. And, best to just, you know, I try to say, I'll try to do it, I'll try to be there, but I don't make any promises. In fact, I'm not a big promise maker, period, at any time.
Mm-hmm.
I find that every time I, like, promise somebody something, like, I swear I'll do that, that the weirdest stuff will happen. It's almost like the universe saying, why don't you just say that, you know, you'll try to do that or you plan to do that? Because it's like every time I swear or promise I'm going to do something, then, like, just the weirdest out of left field stuff will happen. So, yes, I totally agree with that one. Any kind of real, especially any kind of really big commitment and here's another thing, don't... Unless your life depends on it, I really don't schedule a surgery during a Mercury retrograde. I've seen this one go bad a lot of times. And it's not that the person dies, but it's like it doesn't fix the problem. And then they're back in there again.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's a simple thing, you're just, you know, getting a teeth cleaning or something like that, I mean, that's fine. But any kind of, like, serious thing or what, you know, you're having a knee surgery or something like that, it's like I try to just stay the hell away from Mercury retrograde for that.
No knee surgeries here.
No, yeah. Just
all right, let's go to the last one that's on this list, at least. Avoid unnecessary travel.
Right. And I think that goes to the, you know, the technology problems and stuff. I mean, GPSs go wacky. You know, we've both had car issues in the last 24 hours. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah. There are no coincidences.
Right, because we get scattered and, you know, running around doing 800 and different things and stuff like that, and it's like kind of the point of the Mercury retrograde is to, like, you know, slow the heck down and really focus on what you're doing. So
I'm trying.
Right. I met with delays with everything I tried to do this morning.
Right.
Well, so I totally agree with that one.
I didn't know if I was going to make it back to the studio. You know, I was. That's why I called you.
I barely got back here, and then my computer was being difficult with the. It loaded me on the Log Talk, but then like my Skype was all over the place and stuff. So I'm like, oh, then I saw you're on there, and I'm like, oh, cool.
Well, the thing was, I was waiting for you to log on. I said, well, he's not logging on, so he must be stuck. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just log on. He'll probably see me. He'll probably see me.
Yeah, I finally did. I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. So let's take a little short break, and we'll come back, and we'll continue our show and our topic. We're kind of talking about, you know, being in the retrograde now, and I think it's a 3-week process, if I'm not, is that right, Mark?
Yep. Three weeks, four times a year.
Oh, well, sounds like fun. Hey! Right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
We are back live. I'm in the studio. Mark's in his studio, so we're kind of hanging out from different places. I'm trying to do a Google
rabbit
search.
Hole.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a Google search here. How to party during the Mercury retrograde?
Quietly, but and by yourself. Well, you know the thing. If you do have a wedding or something, some party or something planned for it. Because, you know, you can't stop living for 3 weeks at a time, four times a year, you know. So, I mean, what you have to do is just kind of double check. Like, okay, here's an example of, so we've talked about the negative stuff. So just, like you mentioned, let's talk about fixes for stuff. So let's say if I have an astrology class or, you know, some meetup or something that I have to have during a Mercury retrograde. Then instead, I mean, because normally I just put stuff out there. Hey, here's the time, date, blah blah blah. But like, just double check your emails you're sending out. Maybe double check your Facebook posts. If you've got a really important event or something, then like. On Facebook, set up an event so that people have to RSVP, or things like something that where you can reconfirm messages. Or if you're supposed to meet, hey, I'm meeting my friend for lunch tomorrow, then send a confirmation email and say, hey, are we still meeting today at 11? Or, you know, are we still doing this and I'm meeting you at... Because the things that really go bad, I've noticed during Mercury retrograde, is like... the really vague stuff like, hey, let's meet for lunch somewhere near yada yada at 12-ish or whatever. It's like, let's meet in front of point A at this exact time, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of, you know, or I'll just kind of make up some question to ask somebody to... get them to kind of confirm that, hey, we are meeting today, we are doing this, this meeting is this night, yada, yada, yada. So it's just good to kind of, hey, did you get the phone message I left you?
Right.
Where normally we would just, you know, just a quick follow-up has prevented me many a fiasco. during Mercury retrogrades. Mm-hmm. Just a little confirmation. It's like, hey, I know we always meet the third Wednesday of the month. Just verifying you'll be there.
Right.
You know, just something. Hey, it gives you a reminder. It gives them a reminder. And it's a confirmation that, too, because things do, you know. I see this happen all the time. People have car problems and have to switch venues and all kinds of different, oh, somebody's got to pick up the kids and the dog's got to go mm-hmm. to the vet, you know, all this other stuff. So it's just kind of a reminder. And, too, that reminds the person, too, that, like, if they do have some kind of chaos going on, it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot we were going to the movie tonight, and it's, hey, I can't make it, or whatever. But it just kind of gives a chance to confirm and reestablish, hey, we set this appointment up. Are you still right. good for this?
Right. So, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask the planet Venus to come online and talk to us about her brother Mercury and kind of give her insights how to deal with her grumpy little brother. And so we're going to bring Venus on, and she's going to share her thoughts with us. Hello, hello.
Well, hello.
How are you?
This is my Venus voice. I'm actually really, really, really well. I'm getting a lot of reflections by just pausing and not planning and not doing. And I was listening in. And it was good reminders about that little brother. Because he's ornery, and he throws fits sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
I believe Venus had a birthday yesterday.
I did. I had a birthday, a mid-30s birthday, 36. It was amazing.
Happy birthday,
Venus.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I had a friend call this morning, and she's like, what's going on astrology-wise? I'm like, well, I'm not an astrologer, but I can tell you what I did know, you know, from posts and stuff that Mercury was going into retrograde, and that yesterday was a new moon in Taurus. Is that right, Mark?
Yes.
New moon in Taurus.
Mercury went retrograde last night. And to mm-hmm. that... another level of where this is working, too, is at the beginning where I talked about the mutable T-square with Saturn, Mars, and Neptune. Mars is in Gemini. This Mercury retrograde is hitting very close to Mars. So this Mercury retrograde is kind of tying into the frustration of that mutable T-square,
mm-hmm.
which is right. Because in that T-square, Mars is opposite Saturn. That equates to frustration, because Mars is our energy, Saturn is limitations. So that's hitting our head against the wall. And then we have this mental confusion. And remember, too, in mythology, Mercury is the trickster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's what Mercury told me this morning. Me and my friend were talking. She's like, I feel like I'm the anger whisper or something. Everyone's angry around me, and to be honest, I woke up this morning with an explosion. I was like, why is the dog up so early, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like this primal thing, but what I've noticed is that primal and this energy, or the trickster, which to me, when you say trickster, I see a mirror. I see looking in a mirror, like we could think that's another person, right? But it's not. That is an illusion part of us. But what the mirror does is it allows us to see the parts of us that aren't working. And the cool thing about, like, the Taurus energy, the sun in Taurus, the new moon in Taurus, all that, is that Taurus and Venus is slow and sensual and able to really take a moment to sit back and say, what are these parts? And, like, let them scream and be patient with them. So it's like there's this part of us, right, this eternal witnesser, our core, that if we tap into, where we can just sit back and notice these little explosions or these pieces of us that have been buried for so long coming up. And I think our job these 3 weeks, one of our many things we could do, is to let them all meet and to really let them throw their fit and give them like a channel, like, this hasn't been working for me. This sucks. I've been doing this too long and I haven't wanted to. I've been martyring. I didn't want to do that. So what do? We let that energy go through, and then we channel that energy. And what you were just talking about, like, instead of taking a bunch of actions, but sitting back is really honing in that Taurus slow, steady, where do I want to go? And there is a compromise to this, because it isn't all about what we want. We are compromising with the other people around us, but we're getting rid of that martyr-y part, that part of us, a couple parts, the child who's throwing fits, just wants to be heard, so we're hearing that child. And then we're also saying, wait, we're not victims in this. We're adults. We're powerful creators with the universe. Where do we want to, after these 3 weeks, what do we want to step into more of?
Mm-hmm. So true, so true.
Agreed.
You know, Mercury is also, you know, he has wings on his feet, too, so he's really fast and quick. So be
Ooh.
Gone, Mercury.
Be gone. I'm looking forward, personally, to settling back and, like, because I have had all these ideas and all these things I want to do, and it's, like, it's exhausting trying to figure out which one to do, and then I just freeze. Does that ever happen to you, where you're like, I could do this, this, or this, so I'll just go walk through the forest instead?
Yeah, I'm my own worst enemy by mm-hmm. far. I constantly, my brain is so active that I have a hard time slowing my brain down, and then it's like I short myself out. I'm like, oh, I should do this and this and this, and then I could do this to this and this and this, and then it's like I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a zombie. I stop and can't even, like, I get so many things in my head at once, like it causes a traffic jam, and I end up doing nothing.
Oh my God, I wish I could relate to that. Yes.
You're right. I'm famous for having, like, I'll set out like 14 stacks of papers and projects on my floor and tables. I'm like, I'm gonna go get every one of these. Then it's like, I get in and it's like, oh, I have to go do something else.
I have to check Facebook.
right.
That's funny. You know, it's funny that Mercury is, considered one of the, in mythology, is one of the fastest, you know, the gods of speed. And yet, the Mercury retrograde can actually slow you down. You know, that's kind of a time for reflection, a time to sit back and go, wow, I just need to slow down a little bit here, you know?
Right. And it is. It's actually it has the fastest rotation cycle of any of the planets. It only stays in the sign for 3 weeks at a time, and that's the Venus is very close to that. It's right around 3 weeks too, but Mercury is the fastest mover of the zodiac.
Yeah, I think it's January 21st through February 11th, May 19th through June 11th, September 17th or October 9th. So the power of three.
It doesn't actually go backwards, does it? It just looks like it to us?
Looks like it.
Right. When a planet goes retrograde, what has actually happened is it travels faster than the Earth does. So it's always going, this applies to all the planets. So it's actually moving faster than the Earth does. But when it's retrograde, its speed is actually slowing down. So it's not actually going backwards, but now the speed of the Earth's orbit is now faster than that of Mercury or whatever planet we're talking about that's retrograde. So you're right. It's not really going backwards. It's just we're passing it up because its speed is now slower than ours.
Could you imagine what it's like to be on Mercury right now? How would you age? You'd be like flying through space. You'd probably be like, you'd be on fire, number one. But number two, you'd probably be like age. You'd be like older. You know, you'd be like real old. If you're moving that fast, like, you're done. One parsec.
Like in Interstellar.
Yeah.
When they're on the other planet and they're
come back to Earth,
aging faster.
Everybody's gone.
Right.
One trip on
Mercury.
Yeah, one, well, you know, think about it, because if one trip around the sun on Mercury, you come back to Earth and everybody you ever knew is gone.
So am I the only one where time has been a theme this week? I've heard people talking about it. I don't know how many times this week I heard time flies. And I was just like, okay, this is getting creepy. How many people are mentioning time flies? And then I went to my Sangha, my meditation mindfulness practice, and people were just talking about time and like the theory of time. And this guy told me this cool theory. He's been reading a lot about it. About the cross and how the how really the past and the future are now. Like, it's all the present. Like, I've been hearing, you know, the past is the past, the future isn't exist yet. But his theory was, like, it's all right now. And the cross is, like, that line that goes up and down is, like, you're here. You're here in this moment creating, you know, what already is. I'm like, whoa, you're blowing my mind. This is a new concept for me.
That's why they say time's an illusion.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
But there's something to it. There's something we're learning by this illusion, that trickster energy that word scares me, but in return, it does allow us to see things in a different way, right?
I think so.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think so. I don't know, Venus. That's why we were asking you.
Oh, if it's up to Venus, we're just going to eat food, eat ice cream, and bathe in a spring, and we're gonna sing songs and dance. That's what we're going to spend our time doing.
Do you know what the homicide rate would be if there was no ice cream on this planet?
Maybe that's why I have a milkshake from time to time, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Taurus and Venus is about, like, experiencing life through the five senses, which, I guess, with time, when it comes to time, maybe that's why time does have, I mean, I don't think we could have these senses without time. That's what gives us our senses. I had a psychic tell me once when I was trying to be super spiritual and quote-unquote perfect, I was like, I won't do this, I'll only eat these foods, I'll be on this strict regime, and then I'll be very spiritual, and this teacher or psychic told me, she said, well, your guides are telling me right now that you're here for a short period of time and you might want to be human while you're here and make mistakes and eat and party a little bit and just have fun. And I was like, what? Okay. Don't have to tell me twice.
That's funny. Focus.
But no, but that's a good point, because I'm seeing a lot of conversations and posts where people are like, oh my gosh, I'm so done with this place, I want to go home and stuff like that. And it's like, but you know, there's, while I understand that feeling, it's like, you know, there's a reason we came down here to experience the 3D reality. I mean, because, you know, I think it's just easier to learn certain things when we're in a physical body in a shell, because that presents some different limitations and different experiences that we wouldn't have if we were just our, you know, ethereal little sprite body popping around the universe or whatever.
I'm a sprite.
And from what I've heard, we supposedly, like, jump to come back here, to incarnate back here. Like, we get over there and we're like, that was fun, let's do it again. And I'm like, really? I don't know.
And then we get back over. Right? Then we get back over here and it's like,
now I know why I left.
Think it.
But I like this. I like it. I like this incarnation.
I think I left the iron on in the other universe.
Oh, jeez. Things that make you go, But no, you know, I like this incarnation. This incarnation has been really interesting for me. It's been a challenge, like any of them. But you know, this one's been kind of fun because it's starting to evolve into the little pieces and parts that I've been wanting to do. You know, I can see the things. You know, because now when you start doing the work you're doing, and when you're doing the manifestation, and you're doing the holistic work, the metaphysical work, there's a sense of, like, I've been wanting to do this for a while. You know, now I'm doing it. Not to make it perfect, like you were saying, Don, but you're just in the flow with it. You know, it's different when you're in the flow with it. You're moving along with it. last night on our show, David and I were just in a rhythm that, you know, it was just amazing. And it was just like, that's it right there. That's that. It's kind of like when you're meditating and you see that little spark of light in your head, and then someone interrupts you and goes, hey, what are you? And you're like, oh, God, I just had the light in my head.
Yes. Oh, I hate that. When you're like in the zone and then there's a cough in the meditation circle, you're like, no.
That happened to me at the Magic Garden. I was in the bamboo forest that they have there, and I was meditating, and I started to see this little light opening up in my third eye, you know, I could just, and it was like beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then someone comes around the corner, first thing they say, oh, there's Iggy, we found you. I'm like,
I did not want to be found.
I was like, should have put the fox medicine on. It was just funny. It was, and then, you know, I've been having a hard time finding that little dot again.
That's funny.
That's hilarious, though. But you know, that's that nirvana point. That's that little. That's when you have that awakening. When you go into that space that you know that you have no concept of and no memory of and no association, and you just know that that's what you've been kind of like looking for. And now that you know what it tastes like, and it tastes like the best chocolate you've ever had, or the best, you know, whatever food, and you just want to go back there. Now you got to go, and then you've got to figure out. And you can't go back the same way. At least I can't. I tried to go back the same way, and you can't. I can't go back to that point. So I had to find new ways of relaxing, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking someone's going to interrupt me, so I can't see. And that's what the block is for me, and I have to go, stop thinking like that.
Oh, you need to find a place that's totally, there's no option for people to interrupt you, huh?
It seems like it. It seems like it. But that, I mean, that day was pretty amazing. That day was just like, it was just all, everything was just in perfect alignment. And I was just like, yeah, wow, that was badass.
I haven't had a moment like that in a while. I'd be practicing meditation. I've been fuzzy, like, I mean, it still was relaxing, but I haven't had one of those. You're reminding me of those moments in a while. Like, I haven't been angry about it. I'm just curious about it. Like, why am I not going there? Like, it's very odd.
Usually,
who knows?
Usually I fall asleep, you know, or have visions or whatever. But you just know. It's kind of like what the Buddhist monks talk about, you know, that one little point that only lasts like 20 seconds or 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that little space that you know what it is. I mean, and the thing is, you know what it is. And that's what's really cool, because you see the other things that you meditate into, and you kind of get those things that are similar. What everybody else gets, but this piece is just like something that's just so, you know, you just know in the pit of your, in the bottom of your heart, in the deep part of your soul, what that is, but you just don't know what it is, you know, and it's like, that's it. And you're like, I want to go there.
That's a cool feeling.
Yeah.
It's like feeling totally content. To me, it's when I've reached those moments. And I've got it through Kundalini Yoga, too. It's like I'm the eternal witnesser, but there's like I'm witnessing everything without judgment. It's just like a breath of contentment and peace and actually not feeling separate is what it feels like. And for a moment, I don't feel separate. I just feel like super full and whole. And there's the ego kind of steps aside for a minute and gives, and just for a minute, gives me a break. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, you ever have anything like that happen to you?
Probably, but I can't think of an example right now.
Okay. Yeah, you'll know. You'll definitely know when you have it. It's just one of those things you can't even, emotions don't even do it justice. It's just like, wow, you know?
Well, there was one moment when I was doing Kundalini Yoga. This was like 2 years ago. And they do the Sat Nam chant and the special breathing, and you look up and down, and they kept saying, now hold your breath, you know, after you exhale, let all your air out and just hold it. And I, after like the second time I practiced it, I got to a point where it was hard. First, it was scary. When I first tried to hold it, I was like, I got to breathe again. I can't keep holding it. That's scary. I have to breathe. I'm alive. But very quickly, there was this moment where I went past the fear of it, and there was a space where I was like, I don't ever have to breathe again if I don't want to. It was one of the most profound spiritual experiences of my life. It was like, I'm actually okay with not breathing.
Yeah, I've had a teacher tell me once. He goes, do you remember your last breath? I'm like, no. I mean, did you even know if you were really breathing? Are we even really breathing, you know? And those kind of things kind of throw your mind off. And your ego's like, oh, yeah, we're breathing. Yeah, we're breathing. You can tell them we're breathing. We're good. You can leave now. You know, it's kind of... But, you know, it really, you know, you wonder, you know, how we truly do exist, you know? I know we're physical beings, but do we actually truly exist, you know, in a different way? You know, a lot of people have their theories and their ideas and stuff, but I'm always curious about that. You know, I'm always curious how we actually move through this universe and everything that is around us. Is that really there? Because when you think about how we process as human beings in our mind, you know, everything's imagery and everything's, you know, vibration that's sent back to us. You know, we have to interpret it and reassemble it in our mind's eye, what it looks like. So, you know, the brain has never seen light. It doesn't really truly know what light looks like. It doesn't really know what an image is except for what it hears. You know, if you took away of all our senses, do we still have the same existence, or do we become something else?
$1 million question right there.
Yeah.
Was that in the Matrix? Was that part of? I remember watching the Matrix. Like, it's been so many years ago. There's a moment where, like, he realized that it's all been. He was just dreaming it. It wasn't really real. And I remember having a moment of like, whoa, that, if that's real, that's really intense theory. It's a really intense theory.
I think the Matrix movies are essentially correct as far as what's, I mean, I think we are all programmed into this Matrix that, who, you know, I don't call them the powers that be or whatever you want to call them. And so, you know, the more we're tapped in, and to be honest with you, if the Matrix wasn't there, the need for astrology would be very little, and that's why it works so well, because there's certain algorithms that can be read if you can tap into the Matrix, you know, and see how things are working. But if it's without so many conditions.
And we lost Mark.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, he told me his battery was going to die, so he'll call back in on the line. Mark, come back. And the retrograde took him.
Mercury burnt him in the fire.
Oh. Oh, Mark.
So awful, but funny.
Come back, Mark.
Right here. Oh, shoot.
Well, The Matrix is actually a great movie. You know, watching it's one thing, but listen to it. Just turn off the video part of it. Don't turn off, you know, just don't watch it. Listen to it. It has amazing effects too. Just listening to the soundtrack of it, you know, the voices. It's pretty amazing. I was watching a documentary on that there's like a whole different message just within the message of the movie. So I thought it was pretty cool. I haven't done it yet.
It's time to watch that again.
Yeah, I like the original. I mean, I like them all, but there's, you know, something about the original movie that's always brings something, a compelling thing to the forefront of it. But like I said, there's a lot of messages that are hidden. Sometimes our auditory hears one thing, and then our visual eye sees something else. So to listen, we pick up so much listening that we're not even aware of, and things we can process.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Sound is
if your eyes aren't trying to figure things out, your ears get the main focus, then you can. I'm going to have to try that.
Well, ears take everything in. You know, everything goes in, regardless if you hear it or you don't hear it. It all goes in. You know, with your eye, you're trying to decipher when you're trying to validate if what you're looking at is real or not. You know, you're trying to say, okay, is that real? Is he really floating? Because in a movie, you know it's fake. You know it. You know.
Right.
I don't want to use the word fake, but I want to use the word it's an imaginary scenario of something that is a possibility.
Yeah.
And it's but in your mind's eye, it could be real. You see what I'm saying? It's something, it does happen. It is happening. But there's a part of you that's saying, but this is a movie, so this can't be real. But then there's another part of you going, wow, we can do that. Why can't we do that? I know we can do that. You know, so where are our limits as human beings? What are we not capable of? What are we capable of, you know? Are we limiting ourselves because we create these barriers? It's interesting to think about sometimes, you know. Man creates it, woman creates it, and we can have it.
Wow.
I think Mark's back.
Yep. I find it very interesting that my phone kicks me off right as I'm talking about how we're all programmed by the Matrix.
We thought Mercury gotcha.
Yeah, there's a little exclamation point there.
Yeah, we were laughing.
I think we unplugged from the Matrix, to be honest. I think we're asking the questions, we're remaining curious, and something came up when you were, Iggy, when you were talking about, you know, the eyesight. I heard our ears are more pure. They don't take sound and what would be the word, like match it up to sounds we've heard before. I feel like our ears are more innocent and open and ready to, like, hear new things all the time, where for me, this is just a theory that's just popping in my head now, I feel like the eyes are constantly trying to make sense by seeing something and, like, I've seen something like this before, so maybe this is like this. But the ears, mm-hmm. they're like, hearing is more neutral. I don't know if that's the truth or not, but that just seemed to be, like, something I wanted to throw out there.
Well,
it makes sense at all.
Subliminal messages, you know, are huge, you know, even through sound. You can layer things through sound. You can patch things and overlay things and program things that you're not even aware of, and then it triggers something in your mind at some point. So, I mean, visually, I think things are completely, you know, visually it's the same way, but in a different way. And, you know, and then you have touch, you add touch, and you add taste, and you add all the other senses to it. It just becomes more active. So I always talk about Helen Keller, how she, you know, she existed in her own world, like she was in. But could any of us here today be able to live like that and adjust? She didn't know any different, so she adjusted according to how she was born. So, but could you take a human being out of and put them into a scenario like Helen Keller and not even be able to? You would learn quickly, or you just cease to exist, I think, you know, to adjust to your environment. Would have a hard time if I lost my eyesight and my hearing and everything would just been through touch and understanding. That would be really hard.
Or it could be so peaceful and amazing. I don't even know. I haven't read her story. Didn't she have like a? Did you? Okay, so you read it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, hey guys, my phone's kind of acting wonky, so my phone's about to die too. So I'm going to head off. But I'm so glad that I got to share a little space and time with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Venus.
All right, blessings. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, so a funny thing, too, is somebody met, we were talking about the Matrix, and, like, I think Dawn's right that we've pulled a lot of our plugs out of it, and we're able to see view it from the outside, and we're able to see the tendencies and the kind of program responses and stuff. But even, you know, I still catch myself too saying stuff, and I'll be like, okay, do I really mean that? Do I really think that? Or, you know, it felt like that was like a programmed response. Like I wasn't even thinking or feeling that, but that's just kind of like, you know, we just have so many just programmed responses and reactions to things. So think about, you know, sometimes when you're if you're listening to a CD or watching a DVD or something, or even if you're watching a video on the internet, you know, sometimes you get that it'll lock up, or
right.
The picture will kind of pixelate and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So think of that, and then think about déjà vu.
Right.
Couple people tell me that, like, déjà vu is actually, like, a glitch in the Matrix.
Okay.
where it's like their programmed version of reality kind of, it gets stuck or it skips, and we kind of get like a side view of something that we feel has already happened, or a glimpse of something that's going to happen or something.
So who controls this matrix? I mean, who is like, and I'm kind of interested about that. That's the thing that I'm always, is it a computer system, or is it a supreme being, God? I mean, how's this work? You know,
I think it is just a, I mean, talking about who runs this world, this reality. I mean, that's probably a 10-hour show. I mean, you can go on, you know, mm-hmm. you can go the Illuminati slant, or you can go the extraterrestrial slant, or you can go there's many different views of that. But I think that the darker forces that want to control this reality, and who have kind of set a lot of the things up to try and keep us in line and keep us, you know, programmed into this mm-hmm. thing to keep control of us and to keep us in line and everything. I mean, I think these are just, you know, just so many of the standards of society and all the conditioning we have. I mean, just 'cause, I mean, seriously, you don't learn anything when you go to school. I mean, you're conditioned to just parrot back the reality that,
yeah.
you know, they don't. If school really taught people, they would teach you to think. And very few places can you go get an education where they teach you to think. It's mostly memorize these dates and these numbers and these words in this order, which are actually not the correct spellings of the word, that they're disguises for the actual. One of the shows the other day, you guys started talking about, you know, when we talk about this all the time, spelling, how words are spelled, and
mm-hmm.
the energy behind those. And it's like, you know, they, to make it less obvious, they slightly change the spellings of these words in our language, which is, you know, how we think and create and manifest through our ideas and words, abracadabra. You know, mm-hmm. I create when I speak. So it's like they like getting people into just giving conditioned responses and tuning out, and that's what a lot of this crazy stuff, this crazy energy we've had recently has been too, is on one level it's to make us all present, because it's hard to be present, because, you know, it's
yeah.
like everyone's, I can't wait till the weekend, I can't wait till my vacation, I can't wait till I'm old enough to drive, I can't wait till I can get off work and go have a drink, or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's part of the whole matrix thing, is having you never really present in your body. Oh, I'm on my phone talking to somebody and somewhere else who's doing something else. You know, it's like when you're not present in your body, you can't manifest to your full ability.
It's true. You'll be manifesting something. That's for sure.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
When you're not present, you're manifesting something, but not the positive way that you probably should, you know, something, the energies you want
right.
to bring in, you know, the focused energies. That's what I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're both wrong. I don't know.
I think that's exactly the right thought, though. It's splaying or watering down our power and our energy
mm-hmm.
by keeping us distracted and, you know,
right,
just
right.
parroting stuff and, you know, kind of shutting off. It's all about having us shut off to our, you know, to the nature, the real nature
mm-hmm.
of reality.
Right.
And, you know, being, you know, what's Britney Spears doing now and what's the baseball scores and, you know,
right,
everybody's
right.
just over and over again with the different things
Britney.
To keep us.
Huh? So don't pick on Britney. No,
right, 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 right.
No, but I totally get what you're saying. Totally get it.
Right. So that's, I'm sure, I know I've mentioned this before, but I mean, if you, David Icke, as with most things, I think David Icke says it best, that, you know, he narrowed down, like, all conspiracy theory and every conspiracy, he narrowed all of them down into one sentence. And I think that perfectly encapsulates it. And he said, you know, every conspiracy goes down to this: you sitting alone, staring at a dot. That's what every conspiracy is, and that's you being feeling that you're worthless and powerless and alone and disconnected from everything, staring at some projected dot on the wall. You keeping you removed from all your talents and abilities and power to manifest, and that's what every conspiracy goes back to, is keeping you distracted and isolated and away from claiming and using your true power.
I like that. I know you've talked about that, but this is probably the more detail you've given about that. It's very good. So, Mark, we're about to wind down our show here. So anything you want to share with the listeners?
It's hard right now because Mars is in Gemini, which rules our central nervous system. So it's like everybody's energy is kind of jacked and wired right now.
Mm-hmm.
But just try to go as slow as possible and function, and really concentrate on the energy, be present, concentrate on the energy you're putting out there. And, you know, the less stuff you try to force and cram right now, the less chaos you have. And, you know, and be clear with your messages, inner and outer.
Awesome. Right, and I'll give my closing statement here, but I'm going to put a little music behind it. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And I know these shows are really close to my heart. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to With Insights Radio, because, you know, we really take a lot of time out of our busy schedules to share our thoughts and our hearts and our emotions with you. And we hope you enjoyed these shows. Yes, on Mondays we have With Insights, Iggy and Friends, and then we have Mark and Iggy at Lunchtime Wisdom. And then we have every Wednesday we have a different show that pops through. We have Dawn Thompson. She has the Gypsy Wagon. She was just here on with us earlier. She's Venus. She was playing the part of Venus, Mercury's little or bigger sister. And and then we have Heidi Howes, so she'll come on from time to time and share her thoughts with us. And then we have The Lion's Lair with Adriana Arts, and she has a great show. And she'll be talking about stuff. I'm not sure if it's going to be this Wednesday or next Wednesday. She hasn't decided yet, but it'll be on regardless. And then we roll through Thursday. We have a Throwback Thursday show. And then we have Spontaneous Spirit Talk. And then we roll to Friday. And then we have your show, Mark. Mark the Rabbit Hole. And we share a lot of good information. Yeah. Go ahead.
My guest this week will be Susan Nicole Wright, psychic medium, who had on a few weeks ago, had some technical issues, but I think we've got those hopefully straightened out, even though Mercury's retrograde.
And then we have Mud Toe at midnight. He wraps it up. And then I think Gary Heron is at the bottom of the month. I'm not sure. Let me double check my calendar here with him when his show will be. His show will be on the 31st. So we'll have him. He's looking through the crystal ball, or I always mess it up, but he reads his crystal ball, and, you know, he gives you readings, and it's pretty intense. So with that, I guess we can wrap up this show and then go on and continue our day. Enjoy the rest of the day because it's beautiful out. So go out there and make a difference. You know, peace and love, ho'oponopono, and just have fun. The retrograde is not going to get you that bad. Once it gets you, it doesn't get you twice, right, Mark? It only bites once.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, that's a great antidote for Mercury retrograde. Go outside and sit on the ground and ground yourself.
Yes. So go hug a tree. Take your shoes off.
Right. Doesn't take any technology to hug a tree.
Yeah. Unless you're in a wheelchair.
Right.
Mark's had to go outside. No, I'm kidding. But we have fun on these shows. We have a good time. So we're glad that you tuned in, and we appreciate you. And we're gonna shoot out of here, and we're going to go enjoy the rest of our day. And with that,
okay. Have a good day, everybody.
You're out. Bye-bye, guys.